Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose. Girl, what you watching?
Yes, where we spill the tea on what we're currently watching on TV. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And, okay, I'm going to tell you about Vanderpump. Came back yesterday.
Okay. Oh, my God. I forgot. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
So those crazy ones are back. And then Nate and I are watching True Detective on HBO.
With Mahershala?
He was in last season. This season is Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I'll tell you about that.
Nice.
What about you, Fran? What you watching?
The only new thing that I've been watching today or this week is The Impact NYC on VH1.
Oh, the hell is that? VH1?
I don't even know. I'll let you know, girl. I'll let you know. And I was supposed to watch Love and Hip Hop, but I missed it last night. So I'm about back on that train because
really?
I know some of those people now. So that's exciting. It's Love and Hip Hop Atlanta right now.
Atlanta.
Then I can definitely talk about Drag Race, or I can talk about Jessica Simpson's book.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, so. I want to hear about the book. You was giving me the play-by-play when we were in San Francisco, and I need to hear what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Nice. Okay, before we dive into the shows, Tom Shorts on Nick Fayall's podcast. Girl, I got to tell you about this.
Oh, my God. The Three Stooges.
The Three motherfucking Stooges.
Yeah.
And thing one and thing two, them two idiots, Tom and Tom, still out here.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So I will let you know about that. Then you had something as well.
I do. I have something. I know you all hate me right now. Hello, if you're listening. I have something about Taylor Swift, something actually coming to her defense because it's really, really bad. it's terrible what's happening to her right now. So I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's terrible. So
I don't think the people hate you.
Talk about
the Swifties might hate us, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that, regardless of what we say about her, to be quite honest.
I'm good.
But I don't want to have my entire personality be usurped by hating this bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no.
You know what I mean?
We're more dynamic than that. Thanks.
Way more. Yes.
If you want to listen to this episode ad-free with our juicy pre-show hot takes on Taylor, Tom and Tom, all that jazz, join the Rose Garden over at Patreon. On Patreon, you can also watch us on video. And you can join us for our current rewatch of Insecure Season 1.
Mm-hmm.
Try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial, and shout out to the Rose Garden.
Love you.
Love you guys. Anyways, let's dive in to, can I start with Vanderpump?
Yes.
All right. So this is the season post Scandoval. The opening credits were even
they're
different.
Fancy.
They're fancy.
Yeah.
They were a bit fancy, but the show has become, it's not about the servers. It's not about the staff at Vanderpump anymore. It's not even about the restaurants at all. It's specifically a very tailored group of people. The Toms, Ariana, Katie, Sheena, Lala, James. Like, that is the cast now. So even at the beginning, they used to have that photo with, like, Lisa Vanderpump in the front, in the center, and all the staff members, like, it's like 20 of them. They didn't even have that this season. That was the first I'd seen that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just that core group of people. So how I feel about the season so far, I feel like, and for those who don't know, I'm a Vanderpump, like, day one. Like, I've been here. I've been with these people for, like, 10 years. Never get that time back, but here I am. This season will go either one of two ways. It's either going to be great and it's going to validate that we're still very interested in these people, or it's going to just feel tired and like we're beating over something that should have died, or it's like overstaying its welcome. The first episode is giving me a little bit of a whiff of the latter.
Yeah.
But it's just starting, so we'll see. But I do wonder if they stretched out the Scandoval drama like so much that now we're kind of a little, I don't know, I was a little apathetic going into the season.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to ask you, I guess, what new drama could come up that would be as compelling?
Yeah.
As what happened last season.
Right, because basically with the preview shows and what we see, we're kind of still dealing with the fallout from Scandoval. And yeah, that's mainly it. I mean, we see Ariana and Katie are opening up the new restaurants. So maybe there's stuff that's going to happen there. Lala always has stuff, you know, Lala and Sheena always kind of beefing with somebody, so that's gonna definitely happen, but it still seems to be based around Scandoval. So yeah, not a ton new. And Raquel's not there either, so she's like a character. Her absence is like a character, you know what I mean?
Right.
So
what about James and his little young thing?
So James, so we see James, he has a house now.
What?
Him and the little girlfriend he had, they bought a house together. It's by the airport, so it's in the flight path. So it's a little loud, but
there we go. Okay.
They're owners. They own a home.
Yep.
And which is also crazy, because I feel like she just started dating him 2 seconds ago. And now they own a property together. These people are
tied in, girl.
Tied in.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that's a theme of Vanderpump. Like, they move in, the spouse, like, couples move in together really quick because they're, I guess, broke and they need to share the rent. But that early seasons, that was the issue. They were all broke. So they was like, Katie and Tom are living together, you know, even though their relationship was, like, done. But even now, I see it with James and Allie. I'm like, y'all buying a house together? What is that, a LA thing? Is that just these people?
I was wondering, because LA seems like it's very expensive to buy there. I don't know why you would do that. I just
don't know. They're not engaged.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're just boyfriend and girlfriend, and
that's even
literally
weirder.
Under like 2 years.
Oh my god!
I own a property with you. Like, I don't want to do that.
And he's so volatile up and all. He's
extremely volatile in every realm of life. I'm not tying nothing with him, but he had my finances. Hell no.
Right. Oh, boy.
So that's them. He's not drinking today, this season.
Yeah. Okay.
He's California sober, so he's smoking weed, he said.
Okay. So he's smoking weed. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's happening with them. Then you have Ariana and Katie open up this coffee shop, looking for furniture and trying to do that. Tom and Ariana are still living together in this house.
Yeah.
Yep. Communicating through his assistant. One, who is this assistant? I have so many questions. Why are you the assistant to Tom Sandoval? What made you apply for that job? Where did you find that job listing?
How many are there? Because I'm sure there's not just one.
He has multiple.
I'm sure there's rotating four.
What do you do for him that he can't do for himself?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the role of a Hollywood personal assistant is, movies, I'm sure, have been written about that role.
Yeah.
But of an A-list celebrity, that's interesting to
me.
Of this dude?
No. That's got to be boring on its own. You probably have to make him feel so big.
Yeah. You gotta just be the ultimate yes person and just be up his ass the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. I want to know who that girl is and just like what led you to this. What was your previous employment? What led you to this role? So yeah, they're still living in this house. He's down the hall, she's down the other hall. He wants to buy her out of the house. He was claiming on Nick Viall that he offered her $1 million over ask. So there goes another lie, because I know that nigga ain't got no, never mind.
Neither do I. So what am I here to say? Nothing. Okay.
He ain't got $1 million. No. The amount of money he sunk into this restaurant, he does not have $1 million in cash just sitting around.
That's right. Didn't he take his mom's retirement?
He took his mama's damn 401k. Yes.
Jesus.
So he don't have a million just sitting around. That's a bold-faced lie. Ariana, she's, you know, looking refreshed. She has a new boyfriend who we see everywhere, the personal trainer. And she met him 10 days after the Scandoval.
I know that's fucking right. Didn't she meet him at Coachella or something?
She met him at some wedding.
She went to a wedding after that?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when she went to, everyone like photographed her like a wedding in Mexico or some shit, and she was there like dolo. Oh. But she met homeboy at that wedding, and it was 10 days after the whole scandal broke.
I mean, that just shows how long they were really broken up.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. Right. That shows you how long that relationship was dead. Immediately it's like, how soon is too soon? That's too soon. Oh my God. She needs to. But her and Sandoval were just roommates fully.
That's they actually, to me, were way too comfortable living in that house for as long as they were to have it not fit. They felt that energy previously. Like that energy of like, oh, I'm communicating through your assistant. That's not new to them.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They were sat up in two other rooms texting each other from each room.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
That's so true. That is not a couple that shares the same bed.
No.
I don't think so.
They're like, you got the Instacart? It's outside. I see it. Like they just don't. And they've done the dance.
They've done that dance. Yeah. Exactly. So that's that. Sheena, she's still clamoring to be Sandoval's friend. She is the scene where she's sitting with Brock and sad that he's blocked her. She's tried reaching out from all of her Instagrams, from Summer Moon's little Instagram.
Yeah, the little baby.
The little baby. He blocked her ass too. Summer Moon is on block.
What?
He's just dodging her.
Bad.
I know.
You imagine going to a baby's profile and blocking the baby. Or a dog or a cat or something. That's crazy.
God, but he's avoiding Sheena. He just doesn't want anything to do with her. And she's like real butthurt about it. And I'm like, why do you need to be his friend so bad?
She might be similar to him. She has to be.
These people's propensity for keeping toxicity and toxic people in their life is really disturbing. And I'm a mother. I'm a new mom. Yeah. I got my new house. I'm, you know, got my husband. We're building our life. What am I doing hanging around with someone like Sandoval? Why? Mm-mm. What is the value that he's bringing besides negative energy into my space of beauty and family and love? Like, it's very bizarre. So she updates us also that Raquel, which we've known by now, was in a facility for 45 days and then extended it another 30 days. Raquel and Sandoval are still communicating. She's still sending like notes and packages
letters
to the house.
And notes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Ariana sees, so she knows that something's going on. We see Lala's mama and her brother have moved in. They've moved to LA. They're helping her raise Ocean.
I'm
very happy for her. Yeah,
that's great.
And she is just focused on her baby and is very much in a I hate men era.
Oh no.
I know, not great.
Oh, no, Lala. I don't want that for her.
Me neither.
Aw, man.
Hates men. she's got a lot of trust issues after Randall, mm-hmm. and then just watching Ariana go through everything with Sandoval. Mm-hmm. She's even mm-hmm. now, she's like side-eyeing Ariana's new boyfriend. Like, who's this? Why is he here?
Oh, so early. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get
Which
that.
I get that
yeah.
too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's Lala.
Aww.
Yeah.
Did you ever want Lala to date? I don't know if this is correct, but did you ever want Lala to date Garcelle's son?
Yeah, they had a little thing. I mean, I thought that made more sense to me than him at Raquel.
Yeah, him and Raquel's so ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. I was just thirsty on both parts.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Lala with Garcelle's son, that would have been cute. I see more on brand for Lala.
Definitely on brand for Lala. We know what she likes and her type.
Right.
But also for him, she's a single mom too. He's about to be a single dad.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could have been cute. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's off men right now. So
okay, that's fine. So no problem. And he dated Raquel, so he can go.
So
too,
he can go. So. Yeah. Let's see. Schwartz is the group pariah. None of the girls want anything to do with him.
Oh.
Obviously, because he's still like.
Yeah.
Hanging around Sandoval. Mm-hmm. But he's so butthurt about it. And they had some event at Tom Tom that mm-hmm. everybody went to. And that was Ariana's first time back to Tom Tom since mm-hmm. the whole thing. So she was like going through it, obviously, like triggered. Mm-hmm. I think from the last night when she found everything, like his phone fell out. I think was he performing at Tom Tom?
Oh, that's right.
I think he was performing there. Uh-huh. So she was like uh-huh. back at the same table where, you know, she was going off on Raquel, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, Schwartz is just, hey, Ariana. Hi. Like, came from one angle. She didn't say nothing. Came from another angle, like 20 minutes later.
Oh, no. He seems like that type, though. Just relentless, just like wants everybody to like them, but no real reason to like them. No. Don't want to do any work.
Yeah.
Oh,
nope.
Tom.
Just still out here trying to be dopey little Tom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And it's not working. Not at all. So she's like straight icing him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of the episode, Lala has this sit down with Lisa Vanderpump. Because remember, Lala, unless we forget, during the reunion was going like ham on Raquel.
Yeah, went nuts. Yeah. And Tom, both of them.
Uh-huh. But it was going ham on Raquel, then did like the podcast rounds, just going off about her. And so she sits down with Lisa Vanderpump and she's done a lot more reflecting and she can see herself through Raquel. And how when she was with Randall, she started off as an only woman and she defended to the death. She didn't know she wasn't blah, blah, blah. But she's now in her confessionals like, I was the other woman. Like, I can spin it any way I want, but that's who I was at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And she said Raquel at the reunion said something that kind of like hit a nerve where she said, you know, she's going along and saying anything that Sandoval wants her to say, or it's just because everybody has already alienated her and he's the one person she has left. So that kind of like manipulation, that kind of like alienation as well, kind of like finally struck a chord with Lala. And so she's been feeling really bad about how she treated Raquel.
Oh.
And in the end, she either calls or no, I think she sends a voice note to Raquel.
Asking
her if she wants to meet up or something.
All of this is under the facilitation of Lisa Vanderpump and her dogs and goats and pigs and horses.
Well, she sat with Lisa and Lisa was like, yes, I think that would be nice. And you know,
yo, Lisa's a tyrant, bro.
She's running the ship, yo.
She is running it. How's this shit? How is it even still called Vanderpump Rules? Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah, Lala sends the voice note and we don't see Raquel's. We see that Raquel sees the message, but she doesn't reply. And then later, Lala has to tell Ariana, who's obviously not thrilled, you know, also because when Lala was breaking up with Randall, she was like, if you even talk about Randall, like she was. Understandably so. Like, I'm not trying to have my friends geeking and hanging out with my ex who cheated on me publicly. Like, I get that.
Yeah. Right.
But now you're trying to, you know, butter up to Raquel and try to be friends with. It's just a weird situation. Like,
yeah, especially for your own moral compass to be like, you know, I want to right this wrong, but really I was wrong. It isn't like, I don't know. It just seems like a little selfish, a little bit. But, you know.
Yeah. I would feel bad about what I said to Raquel, whatever, and then I would just move on. I don't need to reconcile. I don't need to have a sit down with her. I don't want no part of these toxic people and their horrible life decisions around me. That shit will start to rub off on me. I don't want nothing to do with that girl. I wish her well. Oh, I hope she's in a great mental space. I might send her a little apology note, but I don't need to meet up with her.
No, that's crazy. That's nuts. No. But if you don't have a storyline because your mom and your brother moved in and you're off men, then you got to meet up with Raquel.
You got to meet up with Raquel. That's true. That's true. What is Lala's storyline? Just raising this nut. She doesn't have one. Damn. So yeah, that's Vanderpump episode one.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see how this goes. I don't know either. Yeah. I don't know either.
I already forgot what day it was on, so I don't know if I'm going to be engaged in this one.
I know. We'll see. Next week, I'm going to Eloise's. We're going to have a crochet and Vanderpump night. So I got to like pair it with another activity to get through.
Yes. Yeah.
Going to bring my little blanket and that I'm working on and make it a little night, but that's Vanderpump. Let me know what you guys think, especially the day ones. What are your thoughts? Is it gonna be a good season, or are you kind of feeling it's already stale like I am? What do you think? Okay, friend,
well,
what do you want to tell me about?
Speaking of stale, let's talk about the Impact New York.
Okay.
I'm just going
to
read you the explanation of what the show is, and then I'm going to read out the cast members and ask you if you know any of these people.
This is VH1, you said? I forgot
this
about
is VH1. VH1, girl.
What is on VH1 these days?
The Impact. New York, girl, what you mean? This is NYC's biggest influencers offer a glimpse into their creative worlds, business dealings, and personal lives as they do what it takes to rise to the top and make their impact.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Oh, yeah, girl.
I'm looking at this cast. I already know I ain't going on none of these people, girl.
No, we're going to go through it. Okay. Ashley Marie Burgos. That's fine if you don't know who that is. I didn't either.
No clue. She's cute.
No clue, right?
Very cute.
Yeah, she is cute. Yeah.
So she's just an IG Bernice girl? Burgos? Like an Instagram girl, TikTok girl?
I guess so. Okay. I don't know. Bernice Burgos?
Nope.
What?
Those are sisters?
No, I think they're... Hold on.
Native New Yorker. Make sure. Oh, she was in a Rick Ross music video for Diced Pineapples. Okay. A model. She has a sleepwear line.
Daughter. That's her daughter. Yeah.
Wait. Bernice is Ash.
Bernice is Ashley's mom.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Okay. I need to look at a different photo because I'm literally looking at the photo of like a 24-year-old.
No, Bernice is that bitch. I can't believe you don't know who that is.
She's 43?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You Bernice, guys.
She is a baddie.
She's a baddie and a half. She looks like she's 20 tops.
Yeah.
What? Oh my gosh, she's gorgeous.
Gorgeous. God. Her butt is real.
Oh, I hope I look like this at 43. Her abs look a bit manufactured. Yeah.
Work. Yep, yep. She is not afraid of the needle. So if you want to do that, you too could look like this.
Wow. She's the mother. That's the baddie. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know her. No, no idea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Chinese Kitty?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right.
Who is she?
Cleo Trap. She's a rapper.
There's so many new young female rappers, and I can't keep up. There's so many of them. I don't know who.
There
I don't know who to pay attention to. So
it's just whatever you want. It's just whatever you're in the mood for that day.
Lord.
Like, there's so many there's ladies so many. To pick from.
Yeah.
Cleo Trappa, do you know who that is?
Cleo Trappa? No, I do not.
All right.
Great name, though. Go ahead, Cleo Trappa.
I love her name. I love Cleo Trappa. Dream Doll? You don't know Dream Doll?
Her face, this one looks familiar to me.
She doesn't look the same as all the rest of them?
It's her blonde hair that stands out to me. She looks familiar, but as you said, they all kind of look the same, so I don't know who I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
but her face looks the most familiar to me. But who is she?
She's a rapper as well.
Also a rapper. Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And she's been famous for a little minute. I forget what show she was on previously, but Dreamgirl's been around for a little minute.
Okay.
Ella?
Just Ella? That's just her name?
Ella or Ella Banz?
Absolutely not. Nope. Never heard of that.
Yeah, me either, girl. I'm going to be honest with you. But she has... Oh, she's... her boyfriend is A Boogie with the Hood.
Okay. Who I've heard of from the scholars.
Yes.
They told me about him. That is the only reason why I know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But she just goes by Ella. That's bold.
I do. Very. She's bold on the show, too, with this identity of hers.
Oh, jeez.
Melani Cruz?
Nope. I don't know Miss Melani.
Yeah, sure me either, but don't. She seems nice.
Okay.
And then Scott Louie. Do you know Scott Louie?
Nope, sure don't.
Okay. All right. Well.
Oh, he's a fashion stylist. Oh.
Not only is he a fashion stylist, he is a brilliant chef. I only know him as a chef.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
My God. Jack of all trades.
Yes.
Oh, he's Jamaican. He shout out. Okay.
Yes, he is.
Nice.
Yeah, he makes a lot of good Jamaican recipes on TikTok.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know none of these people. So these are the new age. They all look very young, aside from the mama. Yeah. But they're all influencers. So that's what the show is about.
Influencers in the music industry specifically.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of them are rappers, it seems.
And then, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I watched episode 2 because I love Cleo Trapa and I love Scott Louie. I was like, okay, I got to watch this and see what they're doing with these people.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing absolutely nothing with these people. I will tell you that right now.
Oh, okay? Lord.
It is, if you want to like completely tap out and you have already watched Selling Sunset 8 times,
this is a good one.
The show to watch.
Oh, okay.
Yes. It's very New York. They talk very New York. They're very upfront. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are from the Bronx.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's always fun. Their surgery and appearances are not fun to me. They are actually very sad to me and also very disheartening because all of them want to clearly look like the dark-skinned one, Cleo Trapa, but with light skin and a straight weave. It is very obvious.
Oh, man. Oh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, look like her, meaning like her shape, like her natural shape, or her skin?
Her face, her facial features, her deeply ethnic facial features, but they're light-skinned women.
Okay, so they want the lips, they want
the lip, yeah,
like clear skin, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So that's sad, but the show is just so it's so meta. Like the plot of episode 2 was them at the photo shoot for the show.
Oh wow. Oh my God. That means they have no content. That means they filmed nothing.
None.
Oh jeez.
And I told Crunch, I was like, this would have been actually really dope if they all got a campaign for like Skims or Good American and they were all on set and you got to see the background of what that's like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's fun. But them being in the show, on the show, doing filming for the show while they're doing the confessional for the show, that's stupid.
That's not it. Oh my God. Because
they wouldn't even all be together if it wasn't for this show. That's what that proves.
Right.
To me.
So are they friends? What's the like friendship dynamics?
I don't know about friends. I've only seen them argue so far. Mm. So I can't say that they're friends. I can say that they have songs together, a couple of them.
So some,
And then Scott's a fashion stylist. So I think he's run into possibly all of them at certain point in his career. Mm-hmm. And the only ones that I really know and follow are Cleo and Scott. But I did watch an interview with Chinese Kitty on Horrible. Mm-hmm. And she's one of the rapstresses that they have like defuted as not acting like she says she acts on her songs. Meaning she'll be like, I'm a freak. I do this. I do that. And they asked
on
her
Horrible.
Like, eat ass or suck toes. And she's like, what?
Yeah. That happens every now and then on Horrible Decisions. They'll bring somebody on and like, okay, we're a sex positive fetish, more like, what do they call themselves? A fetish, kink friendly or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Podcast. And then they bring people on who make all kinds of claims and then buckle under one question from Weezy. Yeah. I saw that you sent me one. I think it was like a white girl that she's like a big twerker. God,
the OnlyFans girl?
She does like twerking videos. She's like the number one twerking videos on TikTok or some shit. And my girl was like the Virgin Mary by the time they finished that episode. And they were so disappointed, like, bitch, you don't do shit.
She was whack.
She was whack.
She had no stories. None. She just was making lots of money off of people who have a very specific fetish. Mm-hmm. And she was just the first one who got there.
Right, yeah.
She just, like, there's just a lot of luck in that girl's story. Right, so she wasn't interesting.
Not interesting.
The City Girls are another one. When they went on that show, it was like, a lot of that.
Not prepared.
And I just remember Chinese Kitty just from that. So I don't actually know that much of her music.
Okay.
Ella, same thing. Mm-hmm. I only know A Boogie with the Hoodie. I can't tell you not one song by that young man, but I know that he is a artist.
A person.
His name is a sentence. Yeah.
Oh God.
But it's fun. I mean, it's fun. There's nothing on Tuesdays. Salt Lake City is over. You know, I'll tune in on Tuesday, see what they're doing.
What the little baby dolls are doing. Interesting.
Yeah, well, not all of them are little. Dream Doll certainly is not, and neither is Bernice. So,
Bernice is a mother.
Yeah,
like somebody's whole mama. Dream Doll, she looks young. She's not. How old is she?
I just heard of her for a long time. 31. She's 31. Never time.
Mind.
Yeah, and Scott is like 30.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna have to peek over at this.
Just take a look.
Peek over.
While you clean the bathroom.
Yeah, why not? Because this, I'm not in this world at all. Like, young female rappers that have all come up in the last few years. Like, I learned about them from you here on this podcast. Like, I'm just not in that space. I don't really listen to a lot of hip hop. I listen to old shit or Kendrick. That's pretty much it. So, yeah, I'd be curious to just kind of peek over, see what's happening. Okay, cute.
Yeah, so I'll give it a whole season. I'll see.
Oh, but damn.
Like, we are having drama at the photo shoot for the show we're on. That is wiggity whack.
That's not setting up for a great season. We're already low on content, like, on episode one.
And it just shows you, I don't know if you guys know this listening, it just shows you how... the life of a content creator, a person on Instagram who's millions of followers, all that glamour that they put up in front of your face, there's so much boring shit behind the scenes they got to do to put that up. It's like negotiating emails, talking to your manager, talking to your style. Like, it's so boring.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And that is what would be very interesting to see on the show. Like, them... the BTS of their life, which I guess that's what the premise is, like the BTS their social media life, because that was interesting with Psy on Roni. The little bit I thought it was like getting to see a couple scenes where she's sitting with her like team and they're like putting together like the storyboards of the next brand deal reel she has to make, and even seeing her, I mean, it was ridiculous when she brought like her 6 luggages on the show and all the outfits, just kind of seeing her constantly in motion of working and producing content and the tough work of that life. Like, it's not all fun and games. That to me would be interesting to watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, more than just the fake drama of them, like, fighting with each other.
I don't know if I care. I just want them all to have one campaign, one song, one music video where they're actually all together as an ensemble.
Yeah.
Because this really feels like 6 random people put together, or however many there are, put together and just, like, plopped on a show.
Plopped on a show. That is whack. If they don't have any, like, actual... It was whack on Roni.
Yeah, it sure was.
If they're not actually friends, what am I watching? Interesting. Okay.
But we'll see.
The Impact. Yeah. Cute.
But tell me about the real stuff. Tell me about True Detective.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, True Detective, this is season 4. Don't ask me if I remember anything from season 1, 2, or 3.
Because they were in 2021, 2018,
I know, I had to look.
And 2012.
Season 1 was 2014. That is so absurd. Far pre-COVID. I know.
College.
Forever ago.
Oh my
God. Season 1 was 2014. So every season, also, for those who don't know or have never seen True Detective, each season is its own self-contained narrative. So they, it's a new cast, it's a new story. They all revolve around, obviously, like, a detective story. Like, they're trying to solve some type of murder or whatever. But they're completely different. So, yeah, season one was 2014. That was Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson. That one got, like, critical acclaim. It was very good and did so well that they, you know, brought the show back. Season two was just the next year, 2015. Colin Farrell, Rachel McAdams, Taylor Kitsch is in that one. And then season three was with Mahershala, and that was in 2019. So we haven't had a True Detective since 2019. Damn. Yeah. And that one was really good. I remember it was Mahershala. It was like a missing children case. So season four is starring Jodie Foster. Who I have not seen. I literally went to her filmography. I was like, when was the last time I watched her in anything? I haven't watched her in anything since Inside Man. Do you remember that movie?
Nope.
It's a Spike Lee movie, Denzel Washington. It's a bank heist.
Whoa.
You've seen Inside Man.
Now I do.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Great movie. Great movie.
Yeah.
2006. That was the last time I watched Jodie Foster in something. Like,
damn, Jodie.
She's done stuff since then, but I just haven't watched any of it. Yeah. So, but yeah, she stars. And then her co-star is, her name is Callie Reese, I want to say. She is a Cape Verdean and Native American famous former boxer, like heavyweight, welterweight, whatever weight, boxer turned actress, I guess. And she has these, she has the dimple.
The Maryland?
Yes, the Maryland piercings on her dimples, which is interesting.
So cute. Yeah. And she was a boxer?
And she was a boxer. Yeah.
I guess you get your face beat in anyway, but it didn't even hurt.
I know. But that was interesting. She has them in real life, and it's part of her character in the show. She just, like, has the, it's kind of cool.
Are they cute on her? Because we've discussed this. We've discussed the Marilyns.
Yeah. I used to always.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, there's something I gotta get off my chest, girl.
Tell me.
I've been low-key struggling with my relationship with my phone and social media. Just the over-accessibility these devices create, this addiction to Instagram, the distraction from everyday life and the people closest to me, it's been really stressing me out. I'm not even gonna lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Content overload is very real, and staring at everybody's highlight reels can be overwhelming and can absolutely steal your joy and peace. We carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. You all know we're huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout different stages of my life and areas where I've needed help, from eating disorders to new relationships to my ever-changing relationship with my family. Therapy has really helped me to set boundaries and prioritize my self-care.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/2BG1R.
Like them. I would never do them myself. I mean, I don't have any dimpling. Yeah. Dimplings. It's like dimples and the dumplings at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't have dimples. And if I did, I probably wouldn't do it. It just seems so permanent having, like, in my face. But I Mm-hmm. I do low-key think they're cute on other girls.
They're so cute. I love them.
Yeah. Especially a girl with, like, deep dimples. Mm-hmm. They're so cute. I love them. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she has them, just cute. Like, you just don't really see that on scripted television. Someone with, like, these dimples. Loving hip-hop, maybe, but you do not see this on an HBO show. Like,
yeah.
So anyways, this season is set in a fictional town in Ennis, Alaska, and it follows the disappearance of, like, these eight researchers, you know, in Alaska.
In Alaska?
In Alaska. Which, you know, they
gone.
They gone, girl. What? They gone.
Oh, no.
So these eight people are missing. And so the setting already is really interesting because it's in Alaska. And the show opens on the last day of the solstice, which is basically the last day of sunlight.
And then it's light out. Mm-hmm. In Alaska, period.
Period. For the next 3 months or whatever. I don't know. Astronomy. So I don't know. But so the whole movie or the whole show is in darkness, like pitch dark, essentially. Even the daytime scenes, like the whole show just looks like it's at night. But then they'll be like at school and like her daughter will be at school. And it's like, and I'm like, oh shit, I forget. It's like also daytime. So just like the mental warp of that. And people live like this, bitch. People actually live like this.
I know. And their house is $5. So that's great. But they have to have those sad lamps.
I know. Yeah.
And like stuff to help them. If it's anyone is crazy. From one of those places, Greenland or Iceland.
I don't think people live in Greenland.
Or Antarctica. And you listen to this podcast. Comment down below. What you got? You got a sad lamp. How do you do this? I'd be getting sad when it's the sun sets at like 5. Yeah. I'd be like, damn.
I'd be so out of it. Yeah. Pissed off, really genuinely sad, seasonal depression, like low key. And people lit, like fully lit. Like these girls are going to school and just life just kind of goes on. And that's just their life. But they call it something in the show, like the darkness or the night or something like that. Yeah.
Oh no. So now it's the villain.
It's its own character.
Upcoming doom is like oh god.
So crazy.
Imagine you gotta go to school. It's nighttime, and then you go home and you have math homework.
I know.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not. So interesting. And people grow up there. They grow up there.
Yeah.
And that's just all they know. They don't really. It's not anything different to them. So anyways, Jodie Foster, she plays this like hard ass literal bitch. She's like a flaming bitch of a police sergeant, I want to say. And she has an indigenous queer stepdaughter who has her own little storyline, kind of like she's trying to like figure out her identity. And just like her place as she's getting closer to her racial identity, exploring her Native American ness. And then Jodie's kind of like an absent mom, stepmom. She's like always obsessed with work and doing her own thing. So the daughter's just like turning up and, doing her own shit. And so Jodie and Navarro is the other girl's character. They used to work together. So they have a history, but they're not on good terms. They like hate each other. After this case, that was the murder of a woman named Anne. She was a Native American activist. And so, and they never solved the case. And Navarro was like super, it was very personal for her because she's also Native American. Then something also went down during that case that we don't know yet. But they're like, they hate each other. But they're starting to work together now because Navarro is back investigating the Anne case, the activist, and Jodie's investigating these eight researchers who went missing. And there's a link between the two cases. And so they start working together again, going through evidence and blah, say, blah. There's also some supernatural shit happening, which is always part of True Detective. It's always like a murder something, murder investigation, but there's always like a occult or a supernatural theme
What do you mean supernatural witches like, and warlocks?
Season one was witches, I want to say. Season one had like occult vibes or devils, satanic, that type of stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
And all, I can't remember the other two seasons, but they all have, there's always some like underbelly, some dark underbelly to it. So okay. This season is already, we're not, again, you don't know what's happening yet, but
yeah,
weird shit's going on. And
yeah,
episode three, which was just this past weekend, the end was like very eerie. So they do a good job at like kind of like building you up and you're very intrigued. I have no fucking idea what's happening, but you're like locked in. And then another interesting element of the show, I'd say like a sub theme, is the white and indigenous relations.
I have so many questions for you. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So It plays out in a couple ways. So we see Jody and her daughter. Jody's white, obviously. The daughter is, it's her stepdaughter. So I don't think it's her birth daughter, but she lives with her. But she's having her own racial awakening or whatnot. Jody doesn't understand her, doesn't really seem to want to try to understand her. So there's like that tension.
Ooh.
Yeah, not good.
So that means that Jodie Foster's character is married to a Native American man?
Not currently. Her ex, because we meet him, he's Native, yes. And he, I'm not sure. Somebody tell me. I'm probably doing this wrong. I believe that's her stepdaughter.
Right. Right.
But she's living but with she has her.
Like some custody thing?
Some custody okay. thing. Happening? She's living okay. with her. And we see the guy, too, but I don't know why she's not with him. I don't get it. Mm. But yeah, she's trying to, like, find her place in this world. And Jody's just, like, not being receptive and is being almost kind of cruel to her on wanting to low-key stomp it out of her, honestly. Mm. So that's the whole thing.
That's evil.
Yeah, not great. She's a bitch. She's like a terrible person in the show. Yeah. She sucks. And then we also see, so there's that like tense relationship, right? And then we have there's a young cop, I forget his name, he's kind of like Jody's subordinate. He's white, he's married to an indigenous woman. They have a kid. And so then you see this like the interracial relationships that happen in like a small town, like in Alaska, where the people that live there are the natives and the whites who've been there for a while now too. So you kind of see that with their relationship. And then you see a lot of tension between native activists and the locals with like the mining company. So there's like the mines or the industry of the town that is employing a lot of people and employing a lot of white people, but the locals wanting to protect their land and protect the land. You know.
Yeah.
So that is an interesting part of it. And again, I'm like, we don't ever really see native point of views. We don't ever really see indigenous stories at all. Like, so I'm glad that that's a part of the show. Because it's authentic. It's in Alaska. We think of, you know, white people living in cold in Alaska, but we really should be thinking about natives and the natives that live there. So that's a cool element of the show. So I'm interested to see just like how those different relationships continue to play out. So
definitely. Mm-hmm. I have two questions for you. Do you think that the part of the supernatural portion of this season of True Detective, do you think they've employed the correct writers and researchers to make it Native American tied somehow to indigenous roots?
Yeah.
I think that'd be dope.
That would be dope. We don't know yet what the supernatural, if it is tied. I want to think it is, because that definitely has something to do with Anne, who's the Native American woman that went missing. And it's HBO. It's a female showrunner. She's a Mexican American, I want to say, female showrunner.
She knows.
A lot of natives are in the show, cast in the show.
Okay.
So I would like to think that HBO had the pressure of that alone to make sure that they hired the right people to do this well. So we'll have to wait and see. But I'll be curious to see what like native critics or critique of the show is. Because it's like when I watched Killers of the Flower Moon, and afterwards I'm reading all kind of reviews and stuff, and I was like specifically looking for like any native publications, and learned a lot reading from their perspective. Like, thankful for this movie, thankful for the representation, but we got these issues. And some of the critique that they had of Scorsese and the filmmakers, and it's just really interesting to see their point of view, because we don't ever really hear their point of view. We don't ever really see their stories, know their stories, know even what the point of view should be. Like, I was reading those things, trying to learn too, because I'm like, I mean, the movie was great, but I know it can't be all hunky-dory. Like, something's got to be off.
So
we'll see. But I would
hope HBO has the budget to hire the right people. I would hope so too, you know? Because that would be, I mean, it would be so fantastic, because I think that's what people who are activists are just warning you about. They're like, don't awaken the spirits that are in the walls.
Yes.
No, just don't come over here. That's what I'm saying. This Mexican-American lady, she knows. They're trying to go make a train through Mexico, like a train from like Puerto Vallarta to Cancun to this and that, and they have to go through Mayan ruins, and Mexican people are like, don't do that.
Y'all better be careful now. Oh my God.
Okay, that's interesting. And then the second question that I have for you relates to that is, do you think that, and you majored in film and television, I majored in PR, very opposite kind of, you're way more of like an artistic dreamer about media that I am a very like pessimistic kind of view about media. Do you think that these two films, right, Killers of the Flower Moon and True Detective, were probably made around the same time? Who's making these kinds of decisions that like Native American stories are now important to tell?
I know. Yeah. That is
right.
Yeah. That's really,
it feels purposeful. It feels like, okay, the Asians were last year, the Blacks were the year before. Now we got
the Natives.
That's what it feels like.
That's true. Cause there was a whole year, you know, Crazy Rich Asians. There was four different big Asian centered movies that came out. Now we got the year of the Natives, I guess. That's a really good question. I don't know if some of it, I mean, I would like to think it's purposeful. It could be also kind of coincidental, because Killers of the Flower Moon, like Martin Scorsese was working on that for forever, you know, trying to.
Oh, was he?
I think it's, I want to say it's based on a book, I want to say.
A book, yeah. Tracy just read it. Yep.
Okay. And adaptations are in development for like years. Like, they just, you know, take forever to get.
Yeah, that's right. They do.
Made.
That's right.
So I think it just maybe just so happened to come out in the year where also now True Detective. I don't know. I think also True Detective, they based it this year in Alaska, and I don't think they could have responsibly told the story in Alaska without a Native storyline to it somehow. And so part coincidental, but it'd be nice if it was purposeful. Like, hey, it's been a while, Hollywood. We haven't had a Native story and storytelling in a while. But I don't know. I'm not sure. There's another show. I want to say it's called Reservation Dogs. Have you heard of that one?
Is that a cartoon?
No, it's a it's a show on FX that is. Three seasons. It came out in 2021. That follows four indigenous teenagers living in Oklahoma. It's like a comedy drama. And that's been out for a while. And it's been getting a lot of like focus on it, because it's like all indigenous writers, all indigenous directors, almost an entirely indigenous cast and crew, which is
I gotta check this
unheard
out.
Of.
What?
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but I've always been hearing it's on the list. Just haven't gotten to it yet.
Definitely.
So there has been some, you know, interest, I guess, within in Hollywood now with these stories. So happy to see it.
Me too.
So that's True Detective.
Nice. Did anything happen on Traitors that we need to talk about quickly before I talk about Jessica's book?
Did a new episode come out from last week?
From last week, yeah. Aside from Phaedra calling Burger her Burgerlicious. I told you she fucked all of them. I told you.
Oh, God. It's not Burger. Ew. He looks so young.
He does.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know if anything. Who went home? Where are we at?
I don't know if anybody went home this week. I can't remember. So probably nobody.
Yeah, I think we maybe covered it all.
Yeah.
Until now. Yeah, I'm trying to see.
Okay. Well, never mind.
Janelle. Sorry. Tamara. Oh, there, something did happen. Tamara went home. Tamara got murdered.
That's right.
That was Phaedra trying to get the housewives spotlight off of herself, all of them, but mainly herself. Mm-hmm. And then they banished Janelle.
And then that new lady came in, Katie, not the person who hooked up with Tom.
Okay.
I'm thinking of a different Katie.
When you said that, I was like, she was on Winter House? I don't know if that's the right crew, but...
Bro, when she came on screen, I was like, oh, this is not who I was referring to. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So she joined. And then, Janelle went home. They haven't... Every faithful is getting banished.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. And it almost landed on John. Or not John. Yeah. Dan. Almost landed on Dan.
Dan keeps coming in second.
Keeps coming in second. He really does. So, we'll see. I think new episode is what, tonight? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Oh, man.
What do you have?
Real quick, I'll wrap us up with Jessica Simpson's book. Oh my god,
yes. Okay. So we left off in San Fran, and she and Nick had just gotten married or something?
Her and Nick had just gotten married after being together for years and years and years, forever and ever. And she got married and just had rapid success. They had Newlyweds, a show in there 10 minutes after they got married.
That's so wild. They were really newlyweds. That's true. Yep. They had just gotten married and decided to go on a television show starring the two of them.
And reality television was not what it was today. No. It was not nearly as fruitful as it is today.
Like, why are you doing this? You didn't have to do this.
Yeah. No. Jeez. But she did it. She talked about Chicken of the Sea, and she was like, you know what? I am smart enough to play this character. And just kept playing dumb. She was like, I just knew exactly. She said by the end of the second season, they knew exactly what to say and do to make sure that the cameras would leave their house. They were like, when they got enough footage, they knew when that moment was. And they were like, get them out.
Okay.
We're fighting. We actually hate each other.
Dang.
Yeah. For their third anniversary, which is their last year of marriage, production like set up this whole thing that like Nick did that he clearly didn't do because he totally forgot it was their anniversary. Terrible.
Oh god.
Yeah, really bad.
And I think you said she was 21 or 22.
20. Yeah, she was between 21 young. And 23, something in there. She was
so
really
young when we were watching
and
her.
He was 30
and he was so old. Oh my god. At 22, 23, a 30-year-old was dumb old.
Old.
So old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. So they quit the show after 3 years. Mm. She goes to work on Dukes of Hazzard, and she's like kind of by herself. He's working on his album.
No, please. And with 98 Degrees or a solo album?
His album, Soul O.
Oh, God. No, Nick. That's
just him.
Horrible.
So she goes to work on this movie. She gets down to like 12 pounds.
Yeah, she got really thin.
Really dangerously thin. Yeah. And she's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, having a full-blown emotional affair with Johnny Knoxville. For a long time.
Oh my god. Like
they were both married. Yeah. And she would be in his trailer all night long, talking all night long over whiskey.
Oh my god.
Girl.
Damn. It's like Mr. and Mrs. Smith little moment.
Yes.
Like Brad and what's her name? Angelina. Dang.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Never did anything physical. They never did. But she said the emotion of it all, that was like her man. That was her boyfriend.
That was her full man. Johnny Knoxville. Jackass. That guy? That was your man? Wow.
They were both fooling us with their outward appearance. Like, Jackass was insane. And she said that he was like the nicest Southern gentleman ever.
Yeah.
And then she was so stupid and ditzy on TV and had $1 billion. So she couldn't be that stupid.
Right.
So,
wow. Oh my God. An emotional affair, the drama.
Emotional affair, and she said that she got some marriage advice from Willie Nelson, who was still like her little play uncle to this day. And so she moved on. She got divorced. She said right after she released the divorce, Johnny emailed her and was like, how did you do it? How did you have the courage to do it?
Oh, my God.
Girl. Ooh.
That's so wild. Isn't he older, too? Mm-hmm. He must have been old,
yes,
too.
Yes, he is. He's 10 years older than her. She likes him older.
She likes him a bit older. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Yep. So she got divorced, mm-hmm. then she got with John Mayer, and girl,
oh, I forgot about
let me
that.
Tell you about your problematic fave.
Oh, God. He's the awful. Worst. I know this. We all know this. He's such a... God, talk about hates God. Women deep down.
Yes. Yeah.
He's just said some off-the-wall crazy shit over the years, and it just
mm-hmm.
makes me so mm-hmm. sad, because Continuum mm-hmm. is one of my favorite albums of all time.
No, she said, and she talks about that, how he's a brilliant musician.
Brilliant.
And a brilliant guitar mm-hmm. player. Like, I'll never
super
forget
talented.
His rendition of Human Nature at Michael mm-hmm. Jackson's funeral. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I think I have it on iTunes. Like, I love that rendition.
I mean, yeah, he's.
And he's racist.
Fully. Fully. Oh my God. Yeah, he's so disappointing. John Mayer, mm-hmm. his music is awesome. Mm-hmm. He's one of those ones where it's like trying to, like, reconcile the music and the person
the artist, the art and the artist.
He's a tough one.
But she wrote about how toxic it was, and at the very end, he was very avoidant attachment.
Okay,
you've read the book Attached. And she wrote at the very end that he said something that triggered her why they would fight so much. He said, like, oh, but I'm working on my next project, something like that. They were in an island. They were together. They were happy. And he was like, well, I'm working on my next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really need some space right now. And she was like, wait a minute. You are emotionally toying with me in order to write your music?
Oh, no. Like, I'm done. I'm done with you now. I got to go write this album about you.
About
you. See you never.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. Oh my God.
To see you till it's time to do promo for the album.
Right.
And then we're back together.
Right. And even at that, I'm going to be dogging you out in like Rolling Stone while I promo. So, which I'm pretty sure he did. He's horrible.
Yeah,
he said some terrible things about all the women he's dated. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
So they end that. She cuts him off, like completely cuts him off because she couldn't deal with it. And then she meets her now husband, Eric, out at like a party one night.
Okay.
He's an ex-NFL football player who's very, very smart.
Okay.
So she meets him, but then there's one intermittent chapter that I was really looking forward to reading, and it's called The Chili Cook-Off. And it's the chapter all about that picture that I've shown you 1,000 times of Jessica Simpson that launched a million eating disorders.
Oh, jeez.
She talks about how important it was for her to not be ashamed of that picture publicly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because she was a size 4 when that photo was taken.
And the way they talked about her, like she was morbidly obese. Oh my God. I remember that. I remember it's like Jessica's back and she's put on because she was kind of like out. I feel like she was out of the public.
Yeah, she was like down after her, after Dukes of Hazzard. She was like down and then she came back.
And then she came back and it was like, oh, have you seen her? She's huge. And you look at the picture and you're like, what?
Yeah, but they put her side by side of her in that Daisy Dukes outfit. And her in that outfit from a picture from above. Mm-hmm. And Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman, told her. She said, beware of those shorts because they're going to want you to wear them for the rest of your life.
Damn.
And I know because I was
she
in that leotard.
Damn.
And they're going to want you to look like that forever. And you're not going to look like that forever.
Yeah.
And she was right.
Because whenever they do the side-by-side, it's that Daisy Dukes. And they will always compare to that. Damn, that's crazy.
Where she was absolutely miserable. She said she was like
hungry,
hating everyone, starving, hated anyone who could eat carbohydrates, like just hateful.
Yeah.
Jesus. And I really respect the fact that she knew she was a size 4. She knew she was a 25-inch waist. She knew she was small and never attempted to clarify that she was small.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, it's just not a part of beauty that I need to say that I'm smaller than you all think
I
am.
The narrative's not going to help nothing. Mm-hmm. Or the truth, quote unquote, is not going to help anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is pretty forward thinking for somebody at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Body positivity was not a thing back then.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So I thought that was really, really cool. I looked forward to reading that chapter, and she did not disappoint in that chapter at all.
Okay.
And I'm at like page 370 out of 400. God, and she is, I know she had a lot to say, girl. Jeez. She had a lot to say.
She's just going day by day in her life.
Literally. Yes. I don't know how she remembers this. I don't remember what happened like 2 months ago before I moved. I don't know what happened.
400 pages that long. That's wild. Oof.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
But now I'm at the point where she's about to marry this man. And he's about to go to UPenn. He got a full ride to UPenn Wharton.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she was like, I'm about to clear $1 billion and I have a GED. So you probably don't need to go to business school and leave me here.
We'll be all right.
Yeah, we'll be good. And he was like, okay.
And he didn't go.
So I'm there. Nope, didn't go.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
Yep.
What?
So it's a good juicy read.
A good one. Yeah. What made you want to read the book? And what, I don't really read a lot of memoirs, particularly celebrity memoirs. It's just like not a genre I don't know, ever really got into. Like, what made you want to read this?
I heard, as soon as that book was released, I heard that she spilled the fucking tea. And I was like, I'm ready, because it was COVID.
That the book came out. Okay.
And we had nothing going on. I was gonna look at the amount of people who died that day. Like, the fuck?
Jesus.
So awful. So that's mainly the reason why I got it, is because I knew she told everybody's business. And I wanted to read it.
Yeah. That is, I guess, that is the appeal of a celebrity memoir. The tea that gets spilled.
Either that, or like when I read Angie Martinez's memoir, I really wanted to know how Angie became Angie.
Okay. The origin story of someone you admire. Yeah. Interesting. Dang.
Yep. So that's Jessica Simpson.
That's Jessica Simpson.
And her life.
Her wild life. How old is she?
She was 36.
That's what I'm saying. I was shocked when you said she was like 20 on fucking... She's 43. Okay.
Oh, 43. Okay.
But that she was as young as she was on The Newlyweds. And that show was forever ago. So she's been around for a hot minute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's been working. Yes. Like, if Mandy Moore comes out with a memoir, I'm reading it.
Mandy Moore? Really?
Yeah. Mandy Moore been around forever. She's been working forever.
She has been around for a hot minute.
I want to know all about Wilmer Valderrama. I want to know about that little boy from the, not The Notebook, A Walk to Remember.
Oh,
I want
to
know all about him. Yeah. Shane Dawson, or whatever his name is. I want to know
Chad
all about
Michael Murray
everything.
Yeah.
Chad Michael Murray.
Shane Dawson.
Sure, throw him in there too.
You just be saying people's names, girl. Shane Dawson is that YouTuber from forever ago.
Oh, shit.
But I feel like there's a Shane. There's another Shane, though.
It's a Shane.
There
right?
is a Shane.
Shane.
I'm going to find it. Yes, there is a Shane guy. Shane West.
Yeah.
Shane West. He's the guy from A Walk to Remember, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chad Michael Murray. Who's that man again?
He's from One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill.
Dawson's Creek.
One Tree Hill. Yeah.
One Tree Hill. Okay.
Dawson's Creek. Oh my God. I never watched.
But Dawson's Creek too. She probably messed around with that too. Yeah. I want to know.
I want to know the tea. Mandy Moore. That's so unexpected, I think.
Yeah. But isn't she somebody she's still working now?
She do be around. She do be around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She got a lot to say. I know she has a lot to say.
She's only 39. Oh my God.
What?
She's that little song Candy. Remember Candy? She was like 14 when that thing came out.
Candy.
Yeah.
Girl, I can do the choreography right now. Right here on this riverside. What?
She was super young. That came out in 1999.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she was she was 15 when Candy came out.
Oh my God.
Wow.
What a little baby.
Such a baby. What a time. Do you remember?
I know.
There was
Britney
Spears, Christina Aguilera, and then it was just like a bunch of other girls that came out after them too. Jessica
and
Simpson.
Jessica talks about that too.
She was maybe third one, right?
Uh-huh. She was the third one in the lineup.
And then Mandy Moore came, and then it was just like a succession of these really young, like teenage blondes singing about, mm-hmm. you know, bubblegum shit. Yeah. It's like yes. very bubblegum pop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But all kind of different. They all had very different skill sets.
They were all different. They were all very different. Yeah. Yeah. Who was your... I was a Christina stan.
Oh, stan, okay. bitch. What? Stan. Because she sang like Whitney Houston.
No, she had the voice, you know? That it made no sense when you looked at her. Absolutely no sense.
Jessica talks about that. She was like, we were 12 auditioning for Disney, whatever the fuck. Oh, Disney Kids,
Mickey
whatever.
Mickey Mouse Club. Yeah.
Mickey Mouse yes. Club. And yeah, she was like, this little mousy girl came up with these big glasses and sang like a full-blown 50-year-old woman. Like,
yeah. The power that's been coming out of her voice, yeah, since mm-hmm. she was like so young. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. I still stand for Christina Aguilera.
Still.
Burlesque and all.
Mm-hmm. I love Burlesque. Please don't get me started. I love that movie. I love it. Cher and Christina. Are you kidding?
Yeah, Cher.
Fantastic movie. Love it. Shameless.
Yes,
shameless.
I loved it. Loved Christina, but I also really did love Britney because Britney was so inspired by Janet. She was such a dancer.
She was such a dancer. You know? I always appreciated her performance skills and dancing. And oh man, we used to have like making the video. I remember the making the video for Toxic. I just wanted to see what was the moves this time, Britney. What you gonna give us? Yes. What you gonna give us? Yes. I know I ain't gonna be voice, so let me see what you're doing, how you moving. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god. But really just those two. Yeah, I never really got into Jessica Simpson or
I definitely got into Jessica Simpson because she had big boobs and so did I. So I was pro Jessica.
Yeah. That's true. She was different. She was shaped different. Her voice. Mm-hmm. I think didn't you say she started off as like a gospel, like almost like a Christian?
Yeah, she started in the church.
She was real.
She started
Southern.
As a gospel artist.
Yeah. Yeah. So they all kind of had their they're all a bit different. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a time.
It is. It's a very interesting thing now to think about. Because I told you how I heard from some other ladies on another podcast that they think Addison Rae is the next Britney Spears.
Oh my god, we did have
and
that
we
whole
don't even know really who that
I
is.
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah. I know the name, but then when you said a singer, I was like, I thought she was like a TikToker or something.
She is. Yep, she is. But these audiences now are so siloed and really don't have to be inspired by that much or like inspired that deeply or like had to have that deep of a story anymore. Mm. You can just be famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Jeez, the barrier to entry is like so low.
There's so many famous
people. Like we talked about this, I think, on Game of Roses. There's so many people with over a million followers.
Right.
Just like.
Right.
That exist. Those are really famous fucking people. Yes, have over
that's
a million.
A
that's a lot of people who are famous. Yeah. Like the fuck? Yeah. That's the barrier.
I have 150 comments on this TikTok and I'm like, oh, the negative energy.
Yes.
<I'm> like,
oh my God. Yeah.
I'm like, should I delete this video? I'm like, God,
yeah,
this is too much.
This is too much. And we ain't no, our numbers don't even compare to some of these people.
No.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, all these people on the industry Impact NYC.
All them girls.
I only know two of them.
I know.
And they swear they famous up and
but
down.
They, I mean, I was
and
looking at
are.
A few of them. They have like 5 million followers, 2 million followers, and I have no idea who they are, but 5 million other people do. Yeah. Just so many famous people now. It's like it's overload. It's like a very much an overload.
Yeah. And just not see how like this white woman, Christina Aguilera, was also half Latina, but nobody said anything, and also sounded like Whitney Houston, but presented as a white woman. Like all that convoluted mess, they don't have to do any of that anymore.
It's a different, totally different time. Totally different time. Yeah, it's just so interesting. There was literally, it was Britney, Christina, Jessica. It was like, you can count them on your hands. Now it's like infinity.
And your mom knew about them, right? Like, everyone knew about them. My mother has no clue who Addison Rae is.
Couldn't tell you, couldn't tell you a thing.
Right?
Yeah, it's nuts. Anyways.
Anyways.
This was fun. Preach.
It was so fun every week.
Every week. Love it. Yes. Let us know what you guys are watching down in the comments. If you're reading the Jessica Simpson memoir, thoughts.
Oh my God. Yes.
If you're like a mid-30s millennial like us, like how was it looking back at that time, knowing how much we like looked up to these people and how much we were so invested? Like I still can't get over how young she was on Newlyweds. I just
really,
because at the time I was watching it, I was just like, oh my God, she's married. Like I just thought she was so grown.
Right.
But now as a 34 year old, I'm like, that was a child. That was a 22 year old.
And a married.
And married.
A newly married person. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would love to rewatch that with this perspective and these eyes. Like, but yeah, let us know what you're watching. Let us know down in the comments on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And yeah, rate, review, subscribe. And we'll be back next week.
Sure will. Bye, guys.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.